Brethren, please think back to my offertory sermonette on the first holy day. I'd like to continue on that same subject. You might remember what we looked at back then is why we should not have a spirit of ingratitude, why we should not be ungrateful. Today I want to talk about the other side of the same coin and ask the question, why should we be thankful? Why should we be thankful? What are the reasons why we should give thanks to our great God? These are the questions I'd like to ask today. Why should we be thankful? And I'd say that perhaps the number one reason is the perfect example of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. To see his wonderful example of a thankful attitude, when you have time, and I don't have time to go through all of the scriptures today, when you have an opportunity, just take a look through the gospel accounts and look at how many times he gave thanks to God the Father. Over and over again, he thanked God the Father. So he was our example in this. But also, there's lots of other scriptures, including many of the Psalms that deal with the expression of thanksgiving to God. And in this holy day offering message this afternoon, I'd like to concentrate on just one psalm, and that's Psalm 92. So if you could be turning there, please. Psalm 92. And actually, in addition to why we should be thankful, I'm going to add on to the end of this and ask the question, how should we be thankful? So let's start then with Psalm 92. And we're going to go through it verse by verse. And let's start right at verse 1 then. Why should we be thankful to God? Because, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. So right up front there, the first thing there is that it is a good thing for us to do. We should give thanks to him because it's a good thing for us to do. Now, thankfulness to God is good for us to start off with. And here's a couple of benefits there of having a thankful attitude. There's lots more. There's just a few. First of all, it's part of God's way of give. We give thanks. It's a giving thing to do. Mr. Armstrong used to say the way of give is God's way of love. It also promotes good spiritual, mental, moral, and even physical health. And also, it's good sense. It's actually common sense to thank God after he has answered our prayers. After all, if you think about it, we're undoubtedly going to need help again. So we really should thank him for all he does. When I was looking through the commentaries on this, one commentator, I thought it was kind of humorous, he said that thankfulness subdues what we might describe as man's potentially animal-like nature. Thankfulness brings out the human being in us, or really the God being, if you will, and subdues any animal-like nature that might be in us. But as well as thankfulness being good for us, thankfulness is also good for God. Now, God doesn't need our thanks. I mean, he survived for eternity without it. But it is actually good for God. He certainly is glad when his children offer thanks to him. Let's look at verse 2 now. Psalm 92, verse 2. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Again, we should acknowledge and thank God for his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward us year after year after year, even though we fall down and we get back up again. please think of these following examples and be thankful for these that all of us have. Don't take these things for granted, brethren. God's Sabbath and God's holy days, not just knowing to keep them, but having an understanding, a God-given understanding of the meanings of these things. Number two, all the truth of God that he's given us. And he continues to reveal to us year after year. God's word and the truth did not cut off at Mr. Armstrong's death. God continues to be opened up to us. I'm not going to give you any new truth, so don't worry about that. Be thankful, number three, the church, God's true church, and our part in it. We all have a part in it. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Number four, be thankful for each other, for our spiritual brothers and sisters, and the God-given opportunities we've had at this feast, and hopefully we can continue to have during the year in fellowship and in service to each other. And for many of us, the loving, faithful spouses that we have, and for our wonderful children as well, who've been really done a great job this year at the feast. But many other gifts of God, both spiritual and physical, that he pours out so richly upon us every day. Okay, jump down to verse 4, please. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. We should thank God because he gives us gladness. And we've talked a lot during the feast. We've thought a lot about God's amazing creation. But also it mentions here even a sense of triumph and victory to those that those of us are blessed with who have a part in his work, in God's work. And in one way or another, brethren, we all have an opportunity, we all have the ability to have an active part in God's work, every single one of us, in various ways. It's not my purpose now to go through all of the details of those, but he's given us all different talents, he's given us all different functions, and that too, as Warren said, has come together during this Feast of Tabernacles and last great day. Now please bookmark Psalm 92. Please bookmark that. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. I want you to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because 1,000 years after Psalm 92 was written, the Apostle Paul also related the concepts of thanksgiving and triumph. He linked those two things together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the fulfillment of this day, when the fulfillment of the last great day arrives at last, and we see our resurrected parents, and for some of us our resurrected children, and other loved ones in the second resurrection, then we'll shout these words with thanksgiving and great joy. Verse 54, going back to verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And that victory we can rejoice in every year on the last great day and think about that. And one day it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to reality. Let's go back to Psalm 92 again, brethren. Psalm 92. And continuing in verse 5. Psalm 92, verse 5. O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. So we can thank God because his works are very great. And again, just think about that awesome creation. We went out to Cades Cove yesterday, and even though it was rainy and it was just beautiful and just breathtakingly lovely to see that, and really, really thankful for the opportunity to see that. But also it says that we are to thank God because his thoughts are very deep, and deeper than any human being can totally comprehend at this time. One day we will be able to comprehend it fully. So consider the microscopic detail that's been created in the universe, in those, in the salmon, in the butterflies, in the monarch butterflies. But think about the individual loving attention, just as detailed as his creation, that God bestows on his children. He listens to you and me personally, one-on-one, individually, and he responds to us individually. Now I'm going to jump over verses 6 and 7, and verses 6 and 7 mention the future of the incorrigibly selfish and ungrateful of the world. We don't want to home in on that on this wonderful day. And then we return in verse 8, we return to the list of reasons why we should give thanks to our great God. Verse 8, but you, Lord, are most high forevermore. I talked about how deep his thoughts was. We said that we should thank God because his thoughts are very deep. But as mentioned in verse 5 here, he himself is most high. The most high is one of God's names. God is of sovereign height. He is royal. He is the highest and most wonderful king in the whole universe. He is the highest of the high, if you will, and he is the ultimate in height in so many different aspects. Skip over verse 9 for the same reason. It repeats the fate of God's ungrateful enemies, and come back to verse 10. But my horn shall you exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So we're to thank God because he does, and he will even more, exalt his people from the weak and simple of the world. He's going to exalt us. But what is he going to exalt us to? The Hebrew words for horn and oil are, for horn is queren, Q-U-E-R-E-N, and for oil is shemen, S-H-E-M-E-N. And when they're mentioned together, whenever you see them mentioned together, they refer to the containers of oil for anointing kings and priests. When God is going to exalt us, that's what this verse is talking about. God will exalt us from our lowly beginnings, and he's going to anoint us as kings and priests one day. And that's not a pipe dream, brethren. That's the truth. And that's what we all have to look forward to. Verse 11. My eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now, we are to thank God because he will eventually, and he probably does on a daily basis, do justice to his enemies. Again, the wicked and the ungrateful of the world. And again, some of those are people who have been offered, that God has offered his way of life, have accepted his way of life, have tasted his way of life, but sadly spurned his way of life as being worthless. And we ask the question, is it right to be thankful for the judgment and punishment on the wicked? Well, obviously we should not gloat over their fate. We should sigh and cry about those things and pray for their repentance. But we have to take care, brethren, not to ever think that God is excessively harsh for his judgments, for his perfect judgments. And we have to beware of thinking that we could be more merciful than he is. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. When we read of such wonderful flourishing trees, We might think perhaps of the tree of life by the river that's prophesied to reappear in the world tomorrow. And we're to thank God because he gives spiritual and physical health and growth to his people according to his will, his wisdom, and his mercy. Verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And the psalmist repeats the word flourish here. And that the word flourish here is translated from the Hebrew word parach, P-A-R-A-C-H. And it's also translated as bud, blossom, grow, sprout, spring up, and abundantly. So what is it that makes the trees and the other plants and flowers flourish and grow abundantly? It's rivers of living waters that are required to do that. Now it mentions in verse 13, it mentions the house of the Lord and the courts of God. And that of course refers to God's physical tabernacle or temple of the time. And the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, were symbols of God's heavenly throne room. And here, to be able to be in the courts of God in the house of the Lord is talking about the Israelites' presence in them. Now, in the New Testament times, these terms refer to God's spiritual temple and our membership, our presence in spirit in them, and our membership in God's family. These verses look forward in future times, to future times, when God the Father and Jesus Christ will transfer their heavenly thrones to the earth. So we can thank God then because of the spiritual and the physical health and growth that he's already given to us and will increase even more in the astonishing future that he has in store for us, again pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. At that fulfillment of those times, the first fruits will then have been freed from our old, tired, ailing human frames. And during the millennium and the great white throne judgment period, God's newly begotten sons and daughters, who will still be physical at that time, will enjoy perfect soundness of body and mind in a pollution-free world, again, if they are obedient to God's holy laws. Verse 14, please. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now this word fresh in the New King James Version is translated from the Hebrew word dashen, dashen, D-A-S-H-E-N. And it might better be rendered vigorous or stalwart. Also here in verse 14 we find another repetition of the word flourish. And the Hebrew in this case is ranan or ra'anan. R-A-A-N-A-N, and it means green and fresh and youthful and in the prime of life, even in old age, it says, even in old age. So again, we should thank God because God's people are in generally good spiritual health, even in our senior years, and perhaps with spiritual health, normally we'd be more healthy in our senior years than we were in our younger years for various reasons. In our senior years, we can still be bringing forth fruit. And again, what does the abundance of fruit require? The abundance of fresh water. Now many, or most brethren, and despite the illnesses that we see around us in the church, many brethren are in relatively good physical health and are still able to be active in God's work and helping to bring forth spiritual fruit. And good physical health is attributable to living God's way of life, including obedience to his laws, the laws of radiant health, and also special blessings that are bestowed on each of us individually. Now, we're all aware of our brethren throughout the Church of God who are suffering in various ways from poor health. And I don't mean to imply that those who are ill cannot be included as God, part of God's people, not at all. You know, because they are not as physically flourishing, not as vigorous and stalwart, not in the peak of physical health as they'd like to be. But in God's great wisdom, God permits some of his children, some of our members, church members, to suffer health trials. And nevertheless, the laws of radiant health have had a very positive effect on his people overall. Now, I've got no statistics to support what I'm going to say here, but I'd say if we were comparing the percentage of healthy people within God's church with the percentage of people of healthy people outside of God's church, we probably would find that God's people are in comparatively in better overall health. And I know, you know, what you'd say is, we all know many brethren who are sick and going through health trials, but that, you know, and it seems like we know more sick people now in the church today than we used 2 years ago. But really, the difference there is because of our improved communications within the Church of God. So we all definitely feel very much, and we should continue to pray for our brethren who are chronically ill. But it's important for us to remember that at best, robust physical health and healing are only temporary. And if you think about it, if you even think about all of the people that that Jesus healed and Paul and Peter healed in Jesus' name, even those that Jesus raised from the dead, none of them lived forever. Eventually, their health, you know, their physical light went out, if you will. None of them lived forever. Now, it's easy for a reasonably, comparatively healthy person to say, but we must keep focused on the fulfillment of the last great day when all sickness and all disease and even death itself will be done away forever. And again, we ask how? As a direct result of God's rivers of living waters. Please turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Again, radiant health, both physical and spiritual, are a result of God's rivers of living waters. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Well, think about that. Fruit being born every month, and that's really flourishing. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, the healing of the nations. So we can look upon that physically, we can look upon that spiritually as well. So Godspeed that day, brethren. And also it's important to remember that a miracle of healing is important, but please remember that the miracle worker is even more important. Let's go back to Psalm 92, please. Psalm 92 again, and verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So we're to be thankful to God because he is totally 100% upright, dependable, solid, and righteous. And just like that rock back in Moses' time, Jesus Christ is the rock from which living water flows. So that's why we should be thankful to God. Let's just ask briefly, go on to our second question, how should we thank God? Now, at some undeterminable time in the past, God created some incredible super spirit beings, and two kinds of them. One of them in the King James Version are called the four beasts, and in other translations are called living creatures, four living creatures. And the other kinds are called the 24 elders. Now they had special functions, and they say had special functions, I believe they still do and always will. Their special functions are to worship, to glorify, to honor, and to thank God continually. Let's take a look at that. Let's keep that marker in Psalm 92. We're just going to nip back there again before we finish. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, please. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts or living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. So, when the last great day is fulfilled, the whole world will be able to see these living creatures, these four living creatures and these 24 elders. And probably if we saw them now, they'd frighten the living daylights out of us. But now, going back into the Old Testament, and in Old Testament Israel, God arranged for many furnishings and procedures in the temple and the tabernacle to serve as physical symbols of various aspects of the heavenly throne room. And perhaps the physical counterparts of the four living creatures and 24 elders were God had a special group of priests ordained, and they had responsibility specifically. It was their job to look after and to organize the formal and regular thanksgiving ceremonies in the temple. Let's just take a look at that in Nehemiah chapter 12, please. Nehemiah chapter 12. There's a couple of different verses that deal with this, but and I'm not sure whether I can pronounce all of these names properly, but I'll give it a try. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 8. Moreover, the Levites, Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, which was over the thanksgiving, he and his brothers. Jump down to verse 46, please. Verse 46. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. That was their job. That was their specific job, was to look after that. Now let's go back again, just one more time, to Psalm 92. I want to go right back up to the top again, right up back up to the beginning, because I want to review how God's people in these latter days that we live in, how we should thank God. Verse 1, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. Go down to verse 3, jump over verse 2 just for now. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. So these verses tell us that one way to thank God is to sing praises to him. To sing praises to him. And the closest we in today's church can come to the Thanksgiving activities of the four beasts and the 24 elders and the temple's Thanksgiving priests are through the appointment of song leaders for services and to appoint others as accompanists on pianos and the like, and the offering of special music, and the convening of choirs for Sabbaths and holy days. And we've experienced all of those things at the during the feast. Our greatest opportunities for singing thanks and praise usually come during these 8 wonderful days of the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. And these feast song services are especially enjoyable to us because most of us, virtually all of us, are members of small groups meeting in homes each Sabbath day, and we don't have that regular opportunity to sing praises anymore as part of a large group. We miss that, and it's nice, really is nice to be all together to sing. Now the reference in verse 3 to these 10-stringed instruments and harps and a psaltery, and the psaltery is another type of stringed, or was another type of string instrument similar to a zither. Again, it refers to instrumental accompaniment. Now, most of our tiny groups don't have an accomplished piano player anymore. So most of us use CDs or the old Worldwide Church of God hymnal tapes. And this works well for most small groups, especially because our joyful noise can be augmented by the excellent voices of the young ambassadors and the choirs of yesteryear. Now, I purposely skipped over verse 2, and I'd like to go back to it again now. Verse 2, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. So in addition to our weekly hymns and feast hymns as well, Thanksgiving, we can also thank God for his loving kindness and his faithfulness in our daily, personal, detailed prayers, both morning and night. And Jesus, in Matthew 6, you don't have to turn there, you know it very well, in his prayer outline, Jesus indicates that thanks may be given right at the beginning of our prayers in what I call the hallowed be thy name portion. It's good to give thanks right up front, even before you start asking God for his favors. And again, we tend to ask a lot of God in our prayers, but again I ask the question, do we place as much importance on thanking God, and especially when he answers our prayers and gives us what we ask for? Let's not, brethren, forget those 10 lepers. Let's remember that example. Minister years ago made a good suggestion in one of our services, and he suggested that every so often spend your whole prayer time in nothing else but thanksgiving to God. Don't ask for anything, just thank him for your whole prayer time. And concentrate on all of the wonderful things that he's given us. And I repeat that suggestion because I know it's been inspiring and wonderful for me. And finally, another way of thanking God is in our offerings, and especially in our holy day offerings. That's another opportunity to express our thankfulness to God. And I want to repeat something that I said on the first holy day. The purpose of these offertory sermons and sermonettes is not, I repeat, not to coerce the brethren into digging deeper into your pockets in order to get larger offerings. That's not the point at all. It's much better if we think in advance about how much we can give in our offerings and pre-prepare them. We have God gives us a day of preparation, and we need to use that time to get everything ready for the holy days. One more scripture before we finish, brethren. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Just this one verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. One body, brethren. The body of Jesus Christ cannot be divided. Cannot be. It's an impossibility. Please remember that. And be you thankful.